welcome to Monday, unless, of course, you work for Lehman Brothers south of the border. And I think their employees at Lehman Brothers today are having a bring a cardboard box to work day. But that was a lot on their plate all at once. I want to talk about analytics for a minute and analytical software. This was pointed out to us last week, and I thought it was kind of an interesting topic because there's a young man who's a friend of one of my sons. I can't remember which one anymore. Who's convinced that he can? He's very, very much into software and what he's convinced that he can come up with a remote that's going to make sure all the lights ahead of him are green. I wish him well. If he can do that, wouldn't that be mass confusion? But how do they do it? We don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. We spend a lot of time sitting in traffic wishing we could change things. How does this sophisticated software work? How does it know? And how does it know when I'm approaching that it turns all the lights red? Tammy K. George joins us. She's an analytics expert with the SAS Institute in North Carolina. And this is, it's called analytics software. How are you?
Hi, Gary. I'm doing great. And I'm pretty convinced that it's not personal that all the lights are red when you go through. It has nothing to do with analytics.
It's not personal. I think it is personal, to be honest with you. We actually, there's a bunch of us that travel together in the winter, and there's one light in Kitchener where we get back at 2 o'clock in the morning, and in 14 years now, it's never been green.
Wow. Okay, that's a wonderful a problem to solve. We need to definitely start looking into that one. That sounds like it could be personal.
I think it's personal. I think somebody sees us coming into town and turns the light on us.
Well, analytics, it lets you look at data, like, you know, who bought what. What did they buy? When did they buy it? And it lets you also look at data from text, like surveys that you fill out or calls that you make to a call center to either ask about a problem you're having with, let's say, a DVD player, a television, et cetera, and also look at online data. And in its the simplest way I can think of to explain it, it lets you look at all these different types of data, and it helps you discover meaningful trends. It lets you explore it to unearth hidden relationships. It's a really cool way to find insights, and that doesn't just mean things like what you did, but help predict what may happen or what to do. And so it regardless of industry, so regardless of whether we're talking about traffic or toothpaste, it's the same kind of principle, so to speak. So it lets you discover meaningful trends. It's like the ultimate treasure hunt.
And this goes well beyond, your applications go well beyond retail, don't they?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Let's just take a quick look at a day, and I'll kind of give you an idea of the breadth of what we're talking about. Toothpaste that you pick up in the morning.
Right.
The toothpaste, the taste, you may prefer mint, and I prefer cinnamon. There are analytics activities that are taking place that are optimizing the perfect cinnamon taste or the perfect mint taste and flavor. But then there's also other analytics activities going into how to optimize cavity-fighting protection and which chemical elements, when put together, help optimize fighting cavities and looking at, over time, how many cavities are they able to prevent, et cetera. Or as I go into work, you know, we were just talking about traffic patterns. Well, there's a lot of analytic activity going into trying to optimize so many of us trying to get to work at the same time. And even with mass transit, like subway systems and bus systems as well, where do you locate stops? Where's the fastest way to get through people through mass transit systems? Or look at ATM or bank machines. You know, every time I go to an ATM or bank machine, I have to admit, I take it for granted that I'm going to get my money. And there's a reason for that. Analytics goes into predicting based on the location of the ATM, seasonality of the time of the year, for example, if I'm getting ready to go on vacation, et cetera. If there are those time frames, it helps optimize and make sure that money's in there when I want it to be there. And then we could talk about, you know, drugs and drug development. You have even sports like baseball use analytics. So it's just this really cool capability that applies across all different types of aspects of our lives. Not only the things that we depend on, but the things that we enjoy.
How does baseball use it?
Well, baseball, actually, there's a great book called Moneyball by Michael Lewis And it is about how baseball organizations realized that with salary caps and other issues, they needed to pick the best players and fill out their bench accordingly, and that perhaps there were other attributes. Maybe it's not your home run average, but it's some other attribute or statistic, because we all know that baseball is a highly statistical game. If there's another statistic that would indicate success in professional baseball. And so this book kind of explores for you how they started looking at other types of baseball attributes that would indicate success. And so they were able to get players that were perhaps their salary was less, but their long-time contribution to the team was going to be greater. And it's a really cool concept.
We used to call that intangibles.
Yes, intangibles. And then some. But the beauty of analytics, like when we talk about the Ritz cracker, how do I make sure that the Ritz cracker is the same crispiness in Alberta as it is in Detroit, as it is in New York, as it is in wherever you buy it? We take the intangibles. I would consider crispiness. You think crispiness, how is that a tangible, really? You know, it's my sensation and my feeling. But you can actually take and apply analytics techniques to numerically sort of apply that attribute so there's a certain level of crispiness. And I'm getting a 5 and you're getting a 6. And as long as we're getting 5 and 6s, we're happy.
So no matter where the factory is, no matter where they're actually produced,
yes,
the product's the same.
Yes. And they do that through coming up with scales of variability so that they take and apply a factor to crispiness. And our factor has to be within the same range. If my factory here and your factory there, our crispiness isn't in the same range, then you're going to have to adjust. So it's a way to kind of keep things consistent and crispy and tasty, and to be able to do that in a distributed manufacturing environment.
You know, that puts a whole different spin on it, because I think of computer geniuses as solving bigger problems than Ritz crackers.
We do. We solve all kinds of problems. Let's take a look at the environment, for example. You know, you think about companies are trying to invest in the most intelligent, the smartest ways to help improve the environment. Do you replace your light bulb? Do you use solar energy, wind energy? What are the best options to take to try and reduce your carbon footprint? And as we're seeing organizations start to look at this more and more globally, we're coming up with some standards that they can then take and apply some analytics to figure out, based on their organization and the type of industry that they're in, where they should then take and perhaps make some changes. Or, for example, I know that recently, if we look at this in the segment of education of the public, I know recently in Canada there was a survey about what is the number one pollutant of the shorelines in Canada, and Canadians thought that it was plastic bags, when the actual data shows that it's cigarette butts.
Mm.
So what does that mean? Well, that means that you can then have an effective educational program that says, I know we've done a great job educating folks on the usage of plastic bags and trying to reduce that, but what we need to do is target smokers about appropriate disposal of cigarettes. You see what I'm saying? It gives you this ability to be able to direct educational opportunities for the public and public policy and all different kinds of stuff like that.
Well, you see, that's a perfect example, because we actually talked about that on this show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because I was absolutely fascinated by it. Because cigarette butts are they're number one in the world now for litter.
Yeah. And to think about the changes that we've been able to make as far as people using plastic bottles, people using plastic bags, we're starting to be much more cognizant and aware of our impact on the environment. And so what a perfect opportunity to reach out to smokers in our society to try and educate on the proper disposal.
So really, there's not a whole lot of limits here, are there?
No, there are no limits, and that's the beautiful thing about it. That's what gets me so excited about it. I have a blog called BI and the Chicken Pot Pie, and don't ask, it's a kind of a Tammy Kaye thing. But I try to talk about those things that get me excited about the world of analytics, because every day, you know, I was looking at your list of guests. We were just talking about Lehman Brothers, and you're getting ready to talk about cell phone and texting while you drive.
Yeah.
There's all types of analysis, whether it's in the banking or the financial industry. You have to think, were they using the appropriate analysis and analytics to assess risk? or that was their threshold for risk at Lehman's too high? Time will tell. But that is the one way that you can use analytics. I know that your guest was saying that, you know, in Canada you've been much more prudent in investment strategies, especially in some of these more risky real estate options. That's where you see. If I establish a risk threshold and we're comfortable with that risk threshold, you then expose the larger good to less opportunity.
Wow.
for loss. So it really has huge impact.
Well, you know what? I could talk to you all day, but we're out of time. Fascinating stuff. And I will send you where the street coordinates of that street light. You'll look after that for me, right?
I'll handle that. I'm sure I have connections.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Tammy K.
Thanks.
And bye-bye. Tammy K. George, an analytics expert with the SAS Institute in North Carolina. This is 570 News.